Welcome to the Currency.News. This podcast is powered by EY. It pays to be curious.
When people think about AI transforming businesses, they usually think about marketing, about finance, maybe even operations. Rarely do they think of tax, but that's changing because AI isn't just making tax processes faster. It also has the potential to fundamentally reshape how the tax function operates. But it begs a big question. Is tax ready for that shift? To look at the role of AI in tax, I'm joined in the studio today by Deirdre Hogan, EY Ireland Indirect Tax Partner, and Alex Manick, EY Ireland Data Analytics Director. You're both very welcome.
Thank you
very much.
It's a dense subject, but it actually has some really practical implications, and we'll come to those in a few minutes. But Deirdre, I just want to start with yourself. When we talk about AI in tax, what are we talking about? Because it could mean anything. Does it mean somebody's doing my tax returns, my VAT returns, or where does it feed in?
Yeah, I guess it's a very broad application, right? So the answer is yes to all of the above, potentially, right? Depending on the company, depending on its technology stack, and depending on how it wants to use AI. But the developments in AI have been so far-reaching over the last number of years that the application of it in a tax function can really transform it if the business is up for doing that. So to answer your question, yes, we see a future where AI and agentics could potentially do your tax returns, always with some kind of human in the loop or in command, as we like to say now. So the application of AI is very broad, and it can really transform the tax function going forward. So the time of, you know, human beings, you know, tax professionals, you know, chugging out data, using, you know, converting data into Excel, looking at Excel columns, you know, pulling data from A to B and then preparing a tax return or preparing kind of a tax advisory memo. That's still going to happen in the short to medium term. I don't see it transforming overnight, but in the longer term and the not too distant long term, that will change. And we're going to see a step change with agentics, I think, stepping into that and really automating the end-to-end process for tax functions.
I know EY have done a lot of research on this topic, and I was just going through your recent tax and finance operation survey, which was 1,600 tax and finance executives globally. What was really striking, I suppose, 86% of tax and finance official leaders thought that data, AI and technology was their top strategic priority. But there was a gap between implementation and kind of execution.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, so I mean, when you think about it and you look at some of the results that came out of that survey, a couple of things came through. First of all, people are going to have to change. The tax professional of the future needs to have a strong technology bent. That's one of the messages that came through very clearly. The other messages that came through clearly for us was that organizations are going to invest in software with embedded AI. That came out quite clearly. I think 73% of organizations said that's where they would make investment. And also they wish to partner with people who have deep AI expertise. So ourselves at EY, if you like, as their tax partner, what we need to be able to do is to be able to evidence that we ourselves are using AI within our own functions. So we took a lot of the learnings we're bringing out to clients are things that we started the journey on maybe 3 years.
Yourselves.
You've
had that lived experience.
We've had that lived experience, and now we're now trying to bring it to our clients. And I suppose when you think about it, a lot of what happens when you're providing tax services to clients is there's an awful lot of to and fro of information. And that can lead to friction and time loss. And when people need things with certain immediacy, or if you're trying to make those processes a little bit better, you're trying to lessen that friction in the flow of information. And AI can certainly help with that. That's one of the areas that we're certainly seeing.
So, Deirdre, you sit down. You go into a client. You're talking to their head of finance, their CFO. Depending on the size of the company, it might be the head of tax.
Yeah.
And I know VAT is a speciality of yours as well, indirect tax. And they're saying, look, what can I be doing? What should I be doing? What's your initial feedback to them?
Yeah, well, first, they're not alone, right? I think a lot of companies at the moment, even though the technology is there and the AI is there, they haven't adopted it yet, right? And a lot of them don't actually know where to start, right? They understand, oh, we should be using AI. We're being told AI can fix everything.
It's going to do it all.
It's going to do it all. Like, why are we not doing it? Why aren't we seeing it? And so we start with, you know, what are they doing today? How are they? What are their processes today? And more importantly, what are their pain points today? Like, what's taking them a lot of time in their day-to-day jobs? Going back to that data wrangling, the use of Excel, all those manual inputs. Like, we've got clients who tell us it takes them, you know, 70 hours to do an Irish VAT return, right? That's absolutely insane. There's like, you know, not that many boxes on a VAT return. So we start with breaking down their processes.
They must be very big clients.
maybe. But, you know, it's just, what are you doing today? And let's start with something small. Like, let's help you build confidence in AI by, you know, taking one part of your process and automating that. And that can be traditional technology still. Like, there's still a place for traditional technology, but it could also be, you know, AI and agentics and building an agent to do something. And that, you know, process improvement, that process automation will save that tax team time. So you start one building block at a time. We have clients who want to do it all, right? They have a mandate to get rid of Excel within, you know, 24 months, right? That's massive. But that is a huge undertaking, right? And that's top down, that's CFO driven. Most of our clients are saying, our boss has told us, you know, just to use AI this year. They're like, what does that even mean? And for some of them, that's using AI themselves in their personal productivity at work, which is where things like Copilot come in. And we recently ran a tax AI university for tax professionals to help them upskill themselves in using Copilot, because even applying the likes of Copilot to their day-to-day jobs can help free up time for them. It can respond to their emails. It can sort out their calendar. It can run, you know, small little automation things on terms of their day-to-day workload without it being as big process change. So where to start is, it's a big conversation, yeah. But you start somewhere small.
I see you nodding there,
yeah, no,
Alex.
Absolutely. I mean, when talking to tax teams, I mean, first of all, if we just step back a little bit, I've been with EY now a decade, all of it in tax. And if somebody had told me 15 years ago that I'd be fascinated by tax, I would have probably told them to go and take a long walk off a short pier. But the reality is, as somebody who's interested in data and in data engineering and data flows and making data available to people in the right form, in the right time, the right place, the data in tax is actually so disparate. Because you're talking about HR data, you're talking finance data, you're talking transfer pricing data. There's so many different types of data that are needed. Payroll data. There's an awful lot of different data from disparate systems that needs to come together.
And if you're a small business, it can be quite...
Exactly.
It can really hit you. You kind of so, you wake up in the middle of the night going, God, have I done the right return in different areas?
Or is the data correct, right? And what happens then is, within most tax departments, when you start talking to them, you realise that the only tool that they have available to them, and they're very good at using it, is Microsoft Excel. Now, so now you're getting an imperative coming down saying, you should use AI. But I'm sorry, all of your data is now locked in different Excels. What people will do is they'll open up their workbook and they'll go through. It was put together 10 years ago. All of the macros and formulas are in there and they use that. And then when they're finished, they save it. And then next month, they're going to take that as input and they're going to start again. But that data is now locked into Excel and people are being asked, can you build AI into that process? And you're going, well, wait a minute. Step back. So once you realise that, what you realise is there's a whole opportunity now to step back, accept AI and what is happening, and think, hang on, if I accept that it's there and it's improving every day and it's becoming more, just more and more and more capability is coming along, then should I not begin to think about how my process actually works and look at it as an opportunity to reinvent my business processes?
Yeah, and I think, Alex, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, because it's not about doing the same thing in the same old way, but just with AI bolted on or using it as part of your process. It's a step change. It's a change management process.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think people haven't really figured that out yet, that it's the way we used to do things is changing fundamentally. We really need to upskill ourselves in AI, in using it ourselves, but in the potential for it in our businesses. And as Alex said, it's not about doing the same thing the same way. You've got to step back and say, how do I do it differently now that I have the powerful tools that AI have given me to really change the tax function and to change it fundamentally in terms of automating it and having a different use for the humans that are in it. And we're not there yet as tax professionals.
Because there's this, you know, like digitization, automation, but AI and agentic AI has the capacity to do something, I think, a little bit more than just do it by rote.
Yeah, and we say that to our clients and say, well, tell us what, you know, you're doing today so we can tell you how AI can do it better. But actually, what are things you can't do today? Mm-hmm. And actually, AI can probably do that. So things that humans can't do today, potentially AI can do it. And so it is a big step change. And I just think we need to kind of really immerse ourselves in that, understand that and upskill.
So let's give an example. EY traditionally, you know, certainly in the tax front, would have a vast amount of knowledge built up over the years. And the question has always been, how do we get that knowledge into our clients' hands? So, you know, we would have traditionally always issued notices around tax changes in certain jurisdictions. And they're coming out and it's sort of going, you may be interested in this. But our clients are now saying, well, look, it's great, but can I not use that? Can you not tell me what I need to do? Right. So what you're getting now is you're getting information that we have, making that available through that digitization and therefore through AI, and you're then clashing it against what the client has. So in other words, or the client is planning through our tax advisory function is planning, and you can begin to say, okay, if you're going to open a new business in this particular jurisdiction, you may want to avail of these regulatory changes that are muted to come in or have come in. So this is a real example of things that used to take an awful lot of time and an awful lot of research can now be made immediate. So you're beginning to see a reinvention of how EY as a service provider offers those services.
But I just want to bring, because I know data is your speciality, because this doesn't work without the right data. So
correct.
What practical advice can you give for companies as they go embark upon this journey in terms of the probity of their data?
So if you think about it, last year everybody was talking about agents. As we came into 2026, everybody is talking about data and about accurate data and making that data available to the right agent at the right place. And in tax, a lot of people, you know, a lot of the solutions are aimed at big data problems. The problem in tax is not necessarily big data, it's small, accurate data. And it's about making that available. So what you have is a lot of organizations now have to go back and re-examine and take in some of those things that were not so sexy, things like data governance. Who owns the data? How does it get there? Who has responsibility for it? And making then sure that that's available so you get towards those single sources of the truth, but also making sure that the same data is available through multiple channels. And that's really where the future of data is going, is making all of the data available, but at the right time, in the right way, and so that an AI can act on it and also say that it has acted on it. So you're into now data topics like data lineage, etc. So the reality of it is, when we're talking to clients, it's always like, where's your data coming from? Because the minute you take it into Excel and if you copy it without the formula, you've lost. You've no idea where that data came from. So having that data lineage becomes important. And things, learnings that we will have taken that you'll, I think in the future you'll begin to be seen as some of the concepts of blockchain being applied to data. I think that will come. But for the moment, it's all about getting those foundations correct.
And I think, Deirdre. Alex, just when you said what can companies do, I mean, from a pure tax perspective, it's around engaging more with your stakeholders. Like, data is upstream, right? So, you know, they need to be talking to finance and to working with IT. They need to not be waiting for decisions to be made around the business and the data strategy and then just getting what's given to them from a data perspective. They need to be telling them what they need. And it just needs to be much more cohesive, joined up thinking from a business data strategy perspective, including tax and finance.
And is that, you mentioned the EY and the AI Tax University. Is that the sort of issues that were emerging there when you were doing it? Or
the AI Tax University was more aimed at, I suppose, personal productivity, but we did, you know, we did get feedback from those who attended that, you know, they didn't have that oversight in terms of the data, etc., and they couldn't use it. But where we're seeing, you know, more themes around that emerges from the data tax labs we're running, which is what we're running with businesses to really look at their tax functions, help them reimagine it and help them automate it. And yeah, the theme around data is very strong and pervasive coming out there, saying like, where is the source of truth? How do we get to it? Our clients saying to us, we have the data. It's you know, it's in Databricks. It's not like we have it. We have access to it. And then when you say, okay, do you really have it? And then they go look at
it. Or is it in five different places?
Correct.
Contradictory.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And then how do you begin to marry that all together? What is the connections between the data? And traditionally, that would have been done through traditional techniques like SQL, like using SQL, etc. But there are newer techniques now which are looking at more between the linkages between the data and pulling it together into those products. Just to pick up on the point of the AI University. I know one particular client I worked with, we did the university in the afternoon of one day, and then we brought them in into a session like a tax lab where we're talking to them about their business processes. And they were suddenly beginning to see things differently, having been through an understanding of, even on the personal productivity side, what can do. So we found that their imagination, suddenly they're freed from the shackles a little bit and can begin to reimagine how their business should be run. And I found that the crossover between the two is easier once they have been immersed in it to a degree.
Well, the problem at the moment still is just tax professionals aren't being given the time, right? Learning how to use Copilot or ChatGPT or whatever tool they have for themselves in their business is a side of the desk job. Trying to think about how to automate their business and use AI is side of the desk, because they're still dealing with, you know, BEPS Pillar 2, with corporate tax returns, with their tax returns. Like, there's so much being thrown at them.
But I think
they don't have the time.
That's not just tax. Yeah. I think that's every business, isn't it? Everyone's like trying to keep the day job going, you know, hour after hour. I have my workflow, I need to do this. But in the background, there's something transformative that if you had that sort of couple of weeks or whatever, and you had that company buy-in, could really be profound.
And we think, like at EY generally, we really do think that the companies that embrace AI and are kind of those first using it will have a competitive advantage in their business, not just from a tax perspective, obviously more broadly, but they have to start using it and they have to find a way to give their people time to adopt it and implement it. And I appreciate that will have additional change management and organizational structure.
But tax would seem to be an obvious place to start. I mean, look at the Irish Tax Authority, the revenue commissioners are pretty, you know, they're on top of their game in terms of real-time reporting and they're constantly looking for ways to try and have less interaction with companies and make sure they get paid. So it's one area where the numbers, once, as Alex, once the numbers are right, it should be easier to integrate into the business.
Yeah, and you're seeing that across in a lot of other authorities. They're beginning to ask for information in real time. And obviously in the indirect tax space, we're seeing that with e-invoicing. But across the board, tax authorities are going to expect to be given full access to more and more information. Right, so that means you're there's going to be an imperative to get that data correct to submit to the authorities in the first place. So that's going to there's many drivers for this as to the why AI it's here and it's here to stay and it's only going to increase. And some of those drivers are regulatory, and some of those drivers are competitive, and some of those drivers are just operational efficiency, being able to do more of what apply the human mind to the real problems rather than the mechanics of doing a process.
Yeah, and at the moment, I think what we're seeing with clients is that the regulatory piece is what helps them to get a business case for change in their business. Otherwise, they're going to be waiting because all the spend is going into the front end for businesses, right? Automating what they sell. So from a tax function, the regulatory piece,
pitch on that. And that's what I wanted to ask you. Now, I know you guys are like priests. You can't talk about your client names and stuff like that. But just in terms of use cases, where you've really seen it take a benefit first, yourself, and then I'll come on to Alex.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, very simple ones are just, you know, building agents to read invoices and check if they're correct and pop them into, a nice file for you instead of someone having to go through them manually and open them.
God, I'm just thinking of all those invoices. I'm like, did we do this? Yeah,
100%. Others is just data extraction, you know, instead of having, human person have to go into one system and pull data, and then the reconciliations that people in tax world have to do is incredible. And the amount of time they spend reconciling data. And so using AI for that, and we have loads of use cases in that space where it really reduces time. And we had an issue, I think I talked about before, but Mexico, from a VAT perspective, to reconcile bank payments to the invoices to the VAT returns. And it was taking, one of our clients, I think it was 4 days a month, they said. And like with AI, you could reduce that down to less than a day. Like, it's just incredible the time savings it can have. And any one use case tends to be scalable, right? So for clients thinking about looking at automation, like, it's not that you'll just pay for this one thing. Typically, you can scale and reuse that agent or the automation in different ways.
And I guess one use case I'll touch on is generally when we work with clients and we're beginning to introduce it to them, we often challenge them to say, okay, give us one use case and let us prove to you that this can make a difference. So with one client, we had that, they came back, they said, okay, this one particular area in terms of reconciling direct tax returns, corporate income tax returns against what they'd made in their provision. The formats coming in, different formats in Excel, take them 2 to 4 days for each entity. They have 50 entities, it begins to stack up. By looking at that as a data problem first and foremost, and then putting the AI on top of that, two things happened. First of all, the process became a lot simpler, so we took it down from those days down to minutes. And also, we were able to make sure of the accuracy because the AI that we were asking it to do, we actually kept that quite skinny, so it became cost effective in terms of the use of an LLM to do that. From that, once we'd done that, we said, okay, this is the way we do it. We then were given the opportunity to talk wider. So I think when we're talking to clients, we're certainly emphasizing, let's do something short, sharp, fast, look at one particular area. And if it makes a difference, then we can go a little bit wider. So rather than the traditional thing of wait for the results, we can get things done a lot faster.
Is there a worry about, and to a second, Georgia, is there a worry about going in too deep, that you just put too much faith? And we've seen this in different industries, that people have gone all in on AI and without having the human oversight or that last check. And that's always the... the balance. Someone needs to see something.
Well, I was going to say that, because what you need to do is build confidence in the AI, right? Because if you go in, and again, it goes back to that change management piece. If you try and change too much in your tax function without building up the confidence in it from a human, you know, perspective, it won't work, because you won't get the buy-in from the people. You'll also get into kind of pilot purgatory, because they try and put AI on top of processes that are, and data that were kind of, you know, really not good to begin with. And so again, you have to make sure it's the right process, it's the right data, and then, you know, look at AI. But definitely the confidence in it and the trust in it from a change management perspective. If you don't have that, I think you're not going anywhere fast from an AI implementation perspective.
I agree. I mean, one of the mantras I tend to use with clients and internally is less do, more review. In other words, let's get the AI and automation to help us prepare the data, prepare what it thinks you need to look at, and then get the human in to review it. Nothing goes out. And we generally, in most of our tax processes, you're probably going to have two or three review steps. So it's about getting to those reviews quicker.
What are the barriers that you're seeing coming up? So obviously, look, it's a great story, and we all know, we've all been using, you know, whether it's Copilot or ChatGPT, lots of people, we've been playing around with it. We can see the benefits. Some are embracing it more than others. What are the barriers that you're seeing? Is it a confidence thing? Is it just people are too busy? A little bit of hesitancy?
It's probably kind of all of that, including, you know, budget from the business to spend on it, right? So, but definitely, I think, you know, we've had lots of sessions with clients where, you know, we start talking about AI and then they go, oh, look, I've heard the pitch before. I understand I'm supposed to use AI, but like, where do I start? And so to your question, I think it is an understanding and a confidence in it. And, you know, what is an LLM? What is an agent? You know, what is that we're talking about? I think there's still a basic lack of understanding in a lot of tax functions of, you know, the technology and what AI is. And that is a blocker, because people are afraid because they don't know what it is that they're supposed to be doing.
And I think, Ian, you mentioned at the beginning the TFO survey. I think one of the more interesting things that came out of that survey is last year, lack of budget was a problem. This year, the ability to execute is a problem. So it's access is going back to the talent and to the people being able to do it. I think that, and an understanding of that, just because we're in an era of Gen AI has taken prevalence, some of the older analytical techniques haven't gone away and still have their value. So being able to spot patterns in processes and patterns in data still remains the key skill, and that critical thinking and a bit of reimagination. It's that reimagination and being able to think, if I take away that barrier, what could I do?
You know, because it's an interesting, and just to round off the circle, obviously, if you're creating that amount of time, it allows highly qualified, highly skilled people to look at things in a different way or to do different things, which changes their role, but it also changes the role of the tax professional going forward.
Agreed.
And you can look at that in all sorts of ways, depending on what the tax professional is doing in the business. But if you're thinking of like the heads of tax or the heads of indirect tax, etc., like what we hear back from them is, you know, we have so much to get through. If we could take these five things off our plate that are taking us so much time and are not very value added, you know, it will give us time to look at pillar two or, you know, e-invoicing or whatever else is coming down the line from a regulatory perspective or from a business needs perspective. And so there is huge opportunity with AI to free up time and let the tax function be more value additive.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about really tax teams certainly aren't what we've seen from clients is they don't intend to grow, right? They'll stay static at best. But the amount of work that they're being asked to do is increasing due to the regulatory framework is increasing all of the time. So anything we can do to help them offload some of that to technologies such as AI does free them up to address the real business problems that they face.
Finally, if you can give one piece of advice to, actually, I'll throw a different question to both of you.
Okay.
You're a tax professional. If you give one piece of advice to your younger self, not that you're that old, but your 20-year-old self coming through college and getting into it, what would it be now coming from that tax profession basis?
Oh, I think it's, you just have to really embrace AI. You have to understand what it is and use it to your advantage, right? Like if you are trying to upskill in tax, to be a tax professional with the legislation, like use AI to do that. Like use Copilot, use ChatGPT. That is the skill set you need in the future. It's no good if you know the legislation off by heart if you don't know how to apply Copilot. So my advice to anyone coming through any profession would be do what you're doing, but understand how AI can help augment that.
Alex, a piece of advice to a company.
A company?
Who's sitting back listening to this podcast and saying,
okay,
I'm a small, medium-sized business. this is interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't really used very much of it before. We're all working hard. I'm perhaps my wife is the finance director. I'm the finance director. My husband's the finance director. What should I be thinking?
What I'd be thinking of is what you currently do, take that away and put it on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper and sketch it out and then understand how the data is flowing through that, how your invoices are coming in, where your balance sheet is, what are the reconciliations you need to do. And that will give you an idea of the different data points that you need. And then you can begin to step back and look at the patterns within that and look at the process differently and then go, OK, now that I understand that, now I would go and even ask ChatGPT or Copilot to help you go about how would I go about reevaluating that. It's really, for me, it's about process, data, and then the imagination to think of it slightly differently. And don't think that Excel is the only way you can do this.
OK, well, look, I think that's a great conversation. It's really interesting, actually. If someone said to me, talk about AI and tax, but it really has real world implications. So Deirdre Hogan and Alex Manick, thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Currency.News. This podcast was powered by EY. It pays to be curious.